Good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Arkansas native Louis Jordan was among the most famous entertainers of the 1940s. In a nine-year span from 1942 to 1951, he had 51 top 10 hits, including 18 number one songs. He has been recognized as one of the most influential American musicians of the 20th century. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987, put on a postage stamp, and the inspiration for the popular Broadway musical Five Guys Named Mo. But he's not the household name some think he should be, even here in his home state. Stephen Cook wants to change that. Cook, the host and producer of the radio series Arkansongs, is the author of the new book, Louis Jordan, Son of Arkansas, Father of R&B. He recently told me that he's been aware of Louis Jordan's music as long as he can remember.
Kyle, I don't know that there's been a time when I haven't been aware of him. You know, it's Louis Jordan's music is great for kids, and I grew up listening to Louis Jordan. My dad even says, you know, listening to Beans and Cornbread bouncing on his knee, you know, it's just such a great song, and it's, you know, it's always struck me. And then I grew up in the Delta also, So the family would drive through Brinkley, home of Louis Jordan, and I would wonder, where is the big statue to this musical great, even as a child, you know? And unfortunately, there was not only not a statue, but very little awareness, even in Brinkley, about Louis Jordan.
He was so popular and so innovative. And Arkansans are generally a type that if we know someone came from our state and achieved any kind of fame or recognition, we hold them up. And I think people who know about Louis Jordan do, but it still seems curious, as popular as he once was, not relatively speaking that long ago, that he isn't better known by more Arkansans.
Yeah, the Arkansasers really, you know, have disappointed me in that, because, you know, someone that's lived here for 6 months and then goes on to, you know, be in a TV show, like you hear about it on Facebook or whatever. But yeah, it's still a mystery. But the bigger mystery is why he's not, you know, a household name along with the likes of the contemporaries of his, such as Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, or, you know, even the people he influenced. You know, he should be on the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll, and he's such a forgotten figure. After, you know, he influenced the English language. Open the door, Richard. Ain't nobody here but us chickens. These are popular catchphrases that went, you know, above and beyond the songs. You know, I knew people named Richard that they grew up, and people were always telling them to open up the door. You know, they never knew why.
I met old Zeke standing on the corner the other day. That cat sure was booted with liquid.
He was what?
He was obnoxicated.
He was what?
He was inebriated.
He was what?
Well, he was just plain drunk.
Well, all right, then.
He sure was salty.
Well, not to belabor the point, but he was known as King of the Jukebox.
Right, and he had, you know, his songs were not just, you know, just top tens. They were like, they would be number one for weeks. And weeks, you know, 36 weeks, you know, you really think you'd get sick of the song after a certain point, or America would get tired of that. But, you know, his songs would not just be number one, but number one for weeks and weeks. And so they would permeate, you know, Caledonia, What Makes Your Big Head So Hard. People know the songs, Baby It's Cold Outside, and again, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, Choo 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 Boogie. These are all songs that are in commercials and movies. So the music lives on, but the name has somehow slipped through the cracks.
One night, farmer Brown's
taking her hand. He locked up the barnyard with the graves of the can. Out in the hen house up stood, when he hollered, "Who's that?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you bust in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around."
And going back to that title, the second half of the title, Father of R&B, because he was such a pioneer and innovator, do we have any clue where he developed this signature swing sound that he had?
Well, you know, the first thing is practice. You know, he grew up in a musical household and was playing music from a young age under the tutelage of his dad, you know, and he played in medicine shows. So he's a direct line from you know, the medicine shows in vaudeville to hip-hop today. But, you know, he worked in those as well as his dad did, and it was a strict musical regimen, and that's what he followed. And then during the big band era, he was the only person out there that was a smaller band, you know, but he was the most popular. And, you know, all these guys that were his competition had 30 or 40 pieces, and he had, you know, five or six. And so during the wartime, you know, I'm sure he saved that much more money on all the buses and all the instruments and everything you'd have to have. And there was the conventional wisdom that a small band couldn't fill these big dance halls. And they made it happen because they had the charisma, and they had dance steps and had the tight moves and the songs. And they would always look sharp, and you knew when you saw the Timpani Five, you were going to get a show. And Louis Jordan was a consummate showman, and you'd think they were having the best time of anyone at the gig, the guys in the band.
He became a success throughout the country, was a success in New York. He was a success in L.A. Did he have what were his experiences like as an adult in the southern United States? We're still in the era of Jim Crow and even before that.
Well, it's kind of, again, there's so little conflict in the Louis Jordan story. He didn't smoke, he didn't drink, and he wasn't really into politics. He really just wanted to play music for the people. And so I, of course, touch on this in the book, you know, as much as possible. But, you know, Louis Armstrong had a huge outburst at, for example, the situation at Central High in 1957, the integration situation. Louis Armstrong, you know, gave very strongly worded statements about this, and Louis Jordan didn't say a word. But he did quietly pursue integration, and I think, you know, he was called an Uncle Tom during his time because perhaps of his vaudeville upbringing, and, you know, he would clown and mug to get his funny songs across, you know. And so at a certain point, the politics had changed to the point where I'm sure that was seen in many militant corners as buffoonish or cartoonish.
Did he ever have to deal with a problem because his songs were sometimes fun, because they were fast-paced and they wailed and they jumped? Did he ever have to deal with some people who thought his music wasn't serious?
That, Kyle, I think you've hit on a good point here. I really do think that he is a person. But not only his name has fallen through the cracks, his music sort of became its own thing and fell through its own cracks in spite of its innovation, that it was too pop and funny, you know, for jazz, even though everyone that was interested in jazz respected Louis Jordan's abilities on the saxophone. Maybe it didn't translate well in time, but it was not considered serious enough for jazz.
When I listen to Bill Haley in the Comets, I hear direct influence from Louis Jordan. Am I imagining that?
And this is in the book also that, you know, Bill Haley was on the same label as Decca, had the same producer as Louis on Decca Records, name of Milt Gabler. And he's the one that helped craft Louis' sound. And then, ironically, about the time Louis was dumped from the Decca label after 15 years, that was when all this stuff was coming on. And so he told the Comets to play it like the Timpani Five. And you, like you say, you can hear that. You know, the backbeat's just a little more pronounced. You know, Louis Jordan did the shuffle, and they even did some Louis Jordan songs. But Burl Adams, who was Louis' manager, just called it an out-and-out steal.
No less talent than James Brown, Little Richard, Chuck Berry have said that he was a major influence on them. And maybe I'm stretching here, but when I hear rap and hip-hop, I think you can still draw the line back to Louis Jordan.
Well, the line would be direct, even if it was just from all the multiple samples of James Brown songs, because James Brown is one of the most effusive in his praise and influence from Louis Jordan, more than even B.B. King and Ray Charles and Chuck Berry. James Brown really has said the most about Louis Jordan, and most of this is in the book. But yeah, I think there is a direct line with that, and it starts with James Brown, but it's not just that. I think Louis would have been sampled more, except for he's not backbeat heavy. You know, again, his material would not necessarily sample well. You know, for the big beat. You know, because it was a shuffle. You know, you can't. You know, it's great for rhyming across, and you can listen to Louis' rhymes, and they're just as rapid as anyone you wanted to throw out today. And I think, you know, guys, like Busta Rhymes, some of these guys, whether they know it or not, I think, you know, really have a strong Louis Jordan influence going on.
Do you happen to know the last time he played in Arkansas, by any chance?
I know there must have been some times after this, but the last notable time, and this is kind of discussed in the book, was in 1957. Unfortunately, the timing was during the Central High Crisis, and it was in September of 1957, and they had Louis Jordan Day scheduled in Brinkley, and he played a show for blacks and a show for whites. And this is his proximity to the state during that time, again, makes us wish that there had been a statement about that, you know. I'm sure we can actually infer what a person's thoughts would be
if someone
on that, you know. But yeah, so that was kind of it was really when Louis was still a pretty big deal, you know. But for him to come play Brinkley was a really big deal, and so that was kind of the last possibly notable time that we know he played in Arkansas.
If someone's hearing this and they're kind of hearing about Louis Jordan really for the first time, is there a specific collection or a specific set that you would suggest they buy?
Well, the easy part and the sad part is, like, you know, mostly what you're going to see or what a person would go find would be his classic hits. So if you see a Louis Jordan CD, just pick it up and you'll love it. But it'll probably be his classic material from the 1940s, because all the rest of it's a little bit, you know, it's not impossible to find, but it's just ubiquitous, the Decca material. So if you Google Louis Jordan, that's the stuff you're going to find is Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, Choo 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 Boogie, Open the Door, Richard, all these great songs that are probably, you know, the Decca versions from the 1940s are. That's where you want to start anyway.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans toe cornbread, you ain't straight. Beep. You better wake up or I'll gas you gate. Been in this pot since 2:30. Beep. Swelling and puffing and almost due.
Beep. I'll be ready to have a night of beans.
That's what beans.
Name of the book is Louis Jordan, Son of Arkansas, Father of R&B. Stephen, thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure, Kyle. Thank you so much.
Stephen Cook is the author of the new book, Louis Jordan, Son of Arkansas, Father of R&B. You can learn more about the book at historypress.net. He talked with me earlier this month. And don't forget, you can hear Stephen almost every Monday on Ozarks at Large with his latest production of Arkansongs.